traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
This one was
a
boat. A big boat, and it's always just cracked. And I wish it wasn't because it's my boat.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah, later.
Okay.
When Assistant Danny isn't here, my life collapses.
I don't mean to complain about the mansion, but dude, one of the things that yurks my gherkin is when we have lunch at 5 p.m.
Well, that's
anybody else?
It's of course, bro.
It's because
Logan's problem.
I eat every meal late because I work out, and the first meal I eat is breakfast at noon, which, by the way, welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Yes. Thank you guys for listening, watching, viewing, subscribing. Hit that subscribe button. What's going on? You okay?
I think this was supposed to be a water for the guests, but it's half drank.
Yeah. Can we get a water?
Because Danny's not here. Our assistant Danny's not here.
One of those weird.
That's yours? Okay. All right. Drank half. All right. My bad. I was just checking, making sure the guest is going to be all right.
It's a problem I think we all share. I don't know. I just want to ask. I have run into
a wall because you have flat feet and you can't balance.
That too. But I've run into a shirt shortage. Yo, when we are running
another mansion problem.
Well, listen, when we're running, Spencer, are you gonna listen or do education reform? Like, what the fuck are you doing right now?
Pay attention.
Look at my eyes. Okay, Am I sort of wildebeest your attention?
Right here, soy boy.
When we are shooting, by the way, let me put these on so I can hear you guys.
Man, it's tough to get a sentence out of you, guy. Yeah. I gotta say, you get distracted so easy. Just speak fucking words.
When you are running 2 to 7 shows a day, like we have been for the past week. There's just only so many shirts that you can have. Mm-hmm. And so I go in my closet and I say, there's a shirt, but guess what? And we shoot out of order. So who knows? Send me shirts if you're watching. Sponsors, brands. If you are watching this, you've got dope clothes to send.
I'll get you Maverick merch. I bet they'd be willing to sponsor you. I know.
I just really haven't liked a lot of their stuff lately, to be honest with you. I love you.
We're gonna cut that.
Okay. Sorry. Mark that. But if you are watching this and you're a clothing brand, I have a lot of Maverick, which I love, but please send clothes to.
Oh, you can't put that. Well, this is just where we live in our address, so we'll probably just mute that.
Oh, yeah,
but
sure.
It's okay. Hey, I got something before we bring our guest on, who's awesome, by the way. My dad texted me before the show started. He said, just watch Night Shift, which is Mike's new, what is it? Like a YouTube talk show?
Yeah, a variety show.
Just watch Night Shift. Fucking best podcast ever. But then the next text said in all caps, not. Oh. Hold up. We know Greg Paul.
Of course.
It doesn't stop there. It doesn't end there. There's more.
Classic GP.
It should be called Graveyard Shift because that's where it belongs.
Oh my God.
Then he said, I hit my dick with a hammer because it felt better that struggling through that clusterfuck show.
Listen.
All right, let's bring on our guys. Today's guest is on a mission to awaken the world to the power of dreams. She's a certified clinical hypnotherapist, the world's leading dream expert. She's been on countless talk shows and is the published author of The Hero's Journey, The Love, Sex, and Relationship Dream Dictionary, and more. It's dream expert Kelly Sullivan Walden.
Thank you.
Amazing.
I have all these beverages and you've got none. Do you want?
No, thank you.
I think he did come through with water.
He brought me some water.
Okay.
You got a beverage.
We have to. It's good to be with you guys.
Hey, so sorry. It was so tense.
That's okay. I felt like I wanted to do a little intervention and do a little like, can we learn some nonviolent communication?
Nonviolent.
Let's do it.
What do you got? What's your advice from what you just witnessed?
Well, oh my God. First of all, I think it's beautiful that you guys must love each other very much in order to trust each other enough to be able to vent out whatever's on your mind. I mean, there's a lot of people out there. Should I be listening like this?
Yeah,
you can. And also, let me preface this in case.
Loud. Is that better?
Is it too loud? I mean, you're doing great.
I don't know.
What do you think?
I think I'm just going to do it like this.
Okay, that's fine. I want to preface this with saying if that segment somehow got cut, Mike and I just got in another Mike and Logan fight.
We got in an argument, but it was about private
matters. If it didn't get cut, here you are talking about it.
Okay. All right. So there's something called the submit rebel cycle. And it's like, so like saying you're sorry for something, you know, that's a great thing to do. However, it's usually like you do something that you know is a little bit bad. It's kind of like scratching an itch. Like, I'm just going to say that thing. And then, so that's like rebelling. Yeah. And then I'm sorry. It's like submitting. But then that sets you up to have to rebel again. And then it's like, it keeps the,
What's it called? The submit,
rebel cycle. It's like,
I got caught in that in my career at one point. Yeah. Yes. I remember that. I said I wanted to be the villain. Like I embraced trying to be the villain.
Okay.
And then I'd get sucked in back into like apologies, but like I want to be a bad guy and then back to apologies.
Exactly. Okay. So the truth is it's like, you're more than that. You're more than those extremes. And the idea is to get off that cycle and to just step into like, I was expressing myself like to assume this is what I do. I assume that everybody's got a good intent behind everything they do, even if the outcome is hurtful. So like what just happened here, I would imagine, you tell me, your intent of saying the thing that you said about Greg wasn't necessarily to hurt anybody, but maybe just to express yourself or to get something off your chest. And we all have a need to do that. Was there an underlying need that we can all relate to that's not in it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was clapping back. I'm from the East Coast. So if you fuck with me, I'm a clap back.
Oh,
that's just what I do. So like, you
got
to remember, okay, it wasn't me just like,
feelings.
It wasn't just me like, yo, this person, somebody came at me and here's me like this. Yo, back off.
Oh, got it.
You
okay.
Feel me?
Off.
So protecting yourself.
Hell yeah.
And we can all relate to that.
This coming from my crown, dude.
Okay, perfect. Anyway, so I would say that can I say something to you, Logan?
Sure.
So in response, like if somebody said something hurtful about my dad, it would definitely ruffle my feathers. And by the way, my dad was a boxer. I grew up in a boxing gym. I can kind of, anyway.
Yeah.
My dad's a big, tough dude, but I'd do anything to protect him. But I would assume, before I like lose it, I would say, okay, Mike, I'm going to assume the best. I'm going to assume that what you just did has a good intent. I don't know what it was.
No. You're right. The intent was to clap back, which normally isn't a problem. It was just, he went for like a super low,
yes,
really kind of disgusting.
Oh,
blow.
You were really upset about
absolutely,
that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Remember the other day we talked about how like, I don't think you'd ever get me like upset on a podcast. That actually like.
Oh, I was kidding. I didn't know you were actually upset about that. That's like Joker.
Everyone knows.
I think when it comes to our mamas, our daddies.
Yeah, but I say I say jokingly, whereas I think you think other people take it seriously.
Not I think. I know they do.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
I've always known GP to be a stand-up gentleman. I didn't think
he had any
kind of...
But this is the cool thing, because you didn't know that you were hitting him as deeply as you did.
Of course not.
So your intent wasn't to hurt this dude. It's like, no, you were just being funny. And had you known that it would hurt him so bad, I bet you
of course
wouldn't
not.
Have said
I
it.
I mean, listen, you know, like that's, and we, yeah, and let's switch it. Cause by the way, all is probably get okay. cut. But like the thing is the thing okay. is, the thing is this, it's the same with him. Like I put some time and effort into that content. I don't want somebody saying it's shit. Like I'd prefer that hurts
right.
me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so like, it's like, yeah, yeah. now we're just now hurt people.
Hurt people.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
And so look at us, here's the thing. I hate being in a situation where it's like, he makes a joke about something that means something to me. Everybody laughs. I make a joke back about something that means something to him. And I'm a bad guy.
It gets ratings. And yet at the same time, in an, like out in the world, my, what I teach people is to just say, ouch, that hurt. And to just, it's
fuck,
more
vulnerable.
Do you know the most effective way to defeat, you know this. I'm going to say this for the
Maybe.
Audience.
We'll see.
One of the most effective ways to diffuse an argument with someone is by literally saying, ouch.
Ouch.
physically saying ouch. If someone says something that hurts you, say ouch.
Yeah.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God, you just hurt me, as opposed to immediate defense or anger, which covers up hurt and vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Like to reveal your vulnerability, that does kind of, sorry, hopefully it's not good for ratings, but you know, good for life and depth of relationship.
So it's, Kelly, it's interesting you came on and almost immediately became a therapist for us. I think we could definitely use you in our lives, but you do a lot of things.
Because
we brought you on today to talk specifically about dreams.
Okay.
Dreams. Yeah. You're the dream expert.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say one of the top dream experts in the world?
I can't say that about myself, but I can say that it's something that I'm passionate about. Okay. And I do it a lot. And I think anything that we do and we become obsessed with, we start to develop mastery in, and it starts to become second nature. Although the nature of dreams is that they're always bizarre. And the more bizarre, the better. If a dream is ordinary, then I think there's something wrong with the person. If they're too ordinary. But there's always a moment of like, what the heck is this? And then the clarity pops in. So I always have to be willing to not know anything and just take a breath there and then allow the clarity to start to pop.
Got it. Mm. So later, I do want to get into specific dreams. Okay. We all have dreams. We had some fans submit dreams that they've had. Cool. Maybe you could help us interpret what they mean.
I would be so happy to.
What are dreams though, Kelly?
Oh my
God. What are dreams?
Oh my God.
It doesn't make any sense to me. You fall asleep and you just, some sort of imaginary movie comes to life in your brain.
There's so much that happens. Okay. So from one perspective, we are infinite creatures. Like we look like we're just these bodies sitting here in this room. But the truth is, if we could like scroll back the movie and look at the macro perspective, we're infinite. We are so complex. We're connected with mind, body, spirit, past, present, future. We're everything. And yet we've chosen this life to experience this very limited incarnation. But when we go to sleep, it's like the veil is lifted and it's like, we can experience all the stuff that's been suppressed and all the things that have been nice and tucked away neatly. All of a sudden the freaks come out at night in order for us to some degree, I believe, remember that we are more than just this and to have a chance for the bigger part of ourselves to have a playground and to remind us and give us some answers to our questions and our problems and insights.
Are they answers though? Because oftentimes my dreams are just nonsense, just straight up nonsense. Yep. There's boats with that wings that are bleeding and angels playing pinball. And
for real? Are those real symbols?
Oh yeah, for sure. This one was
that's great.
There's one with a boat, a big boat, and it's always just cracked. And I wish it wasn't because it's my boat.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah, later.
Okay. Here's the thing. It's vulnerable. It reveals a lot when you talk about dreams. I think we know that. That's why we kind of hide around them. The dreams are supposed to be bizarre because it's our limbic system that's dreaming. It's not our conscious mind is online right now where we're logical and we're kind of like, we talk in a normal sort of sensical way. But our limbic brain and our emotional brain that comes online at night, it's like, it doesn't operate in order. It's not politically correct at all. So it speaks in metaphors. So it's very poetic, our subconscious mind, our dreaming mind. And we can learn to pay attention. It's like a language, to look at it in terms of every symbol speaks 1,000 words. It's actually a super intelligent language. Mm. Our dreams are way more intelligent than our logical mind that we're using right now. If we were really smart, we would totally pay attention to them and integrate them into our lives. We would be 1,000 times further along than we are.
Isn't there a way to master dreaming so you can control your dreams?
You guys would be perfect for that. Lucid dreaming. Yeah.
Lucid dreaming is what it's called?
Yes.
Don't you like do a dot on your hand or something?
There's a whole bunch of techniques.
Okay.
One technique is there's definitely the hands where you, like right now, if you guys want to look at your hands, just like take a snapshot in your mind of your hands. I know they're cute, huh?
Okay, so
snapshot. All right. So throughout the day, every once in a while, just look at your hands and remember, okay, so that you're telling yourself when I'm dreaming tonight, if I remember that I'm dreaming, I want to look at my hands and somehow the hands are a trigger to remind you that you're dreaming. And if you're aware that you're dreaming while you're dreaming, that's when the fun can start. That's, woo! exactly. That's when you know, oh my God, I'm not confined by the normal world, by gravity, by logic, by walls. You can go anywhere and do anything the moment you become lucid.
Wow. Sounds incredible.
Yeah. You guys would be, that'd be amazing to do, like, I don't know, explore that with you guys.
I agree.
Do an experiment with you.
The issue is though, be honest, Kelly, I'm not dreaming often and I'm like a creative person. It's almost like when I go to sleep, my body and brain completely shuts off to rejuvenate.
Yeah. Right.
I've exhausted myself in the time that I'm awake.
Right.
Why am I not dreaming?
Well, I think there's cycles, there's periods in our lives when we're in massive production mode and we do need to sleep. So we're always dreaming every night, 7 to 9, no matter what. But your ability to recall those dreams is up for question. Mm. And when you're super maxed out, when you're really, really living your dream full out, like you guys are, I could imagine that sometimes it would be hard. There might be cycles where you have a dry spell because you're so using your creativity out here. However, I always say that it's great to keep a dream journal, even if you wake up and you're like, oh my God, that was a stupid dream. Oh my God, the shoes. What's that? That was nothing. Just even if you don't remember anything, to keep note of the first thought that you have when you wake up in the morning, because often those are the most genius thoughts that you'll have the whole day. Like there's something bizarre and peculiar about them that will give you a hint that will open up things and just speed you forward. So keep a dream journal, even if you think you're not dreaming.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Doesn't that help with lucid dreaming as well?
Yes.
I heard it's just a dream journal. Right when you wake up, you write down your dream.
Exactly. And actually starting with before you go to sleep. So before you go to sleep, it all starts before. It's like a dream sandwich. It's all the things that you do before and right when you wake up. So set an intention before you go to sleep for not only that you're going to remember your dream or not only that you're going to have a lucid dream, but that you're going to dream about a particular thing, like an issue, like with regards to a girlfriend or your family or health or whatever it is. Everybody knows what their issue du jour is. So you can write that down on a piece of paper or just think about it, focus on it. And it's as if to say, dreams help me figure out what to do about X or your ex or whatever that is. And I want to have a lucid dream about that. Ideally, at least remember a dream that's connected to this thing. And consider when you wake up in the morning, whatever you wake up with is an answer somehow to that thing. If you interpret your dream from that perspective, you'll have insights that will blow your mind.
Do you have a problem with the entrepreneurs and the people who are like, go, 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 hustle, hustle, hustle. You only need 4 hours of sleep. Wake up, grind, grind, grind.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that that's unhealthy?
Every once in a while, if I have a deadline for something, I can be totally pushing myself. But I would say as a regular thing, it's super hard on your body.
Toxic hustle.
Ooh.
Toxic hustle.
That's a hashtag.
There's quite a bit of that in the world, in the social landscape right now.
Yeah. Because it's like it's cool to like not sleep. And like everyone who's a new entrepreneur, you know, I was sleeping on a couch 2 hours a night. I wake up, I'll go to the gym at 4 a.m.
Yeah, they wear it like it's a prideful thing.
Right, but we can't dream if we don't sleep. In fact, they say we sleep in order to dream. Arianna Huffington, she has a book called The Sleep Revolution. I don't know if you guys heard about that, but she was one of those people that believed, I'll sleep when I die. I got stuff to do.
Ah.
But she was awake in the middle of the night working on something and she fell asleep at her computer and she cracked her cheek on her desk and ended up in a pool of blood.
She got injured.
Yeah.
From not sleeping.
And then she was like, okay, wake up call. Maybe I need to rethink this strategy. Yeah. And so, so there's a lot of research. A lot of people super passionate about get your 8 hours of sleep. You're way more effective. You tend to lose weight if you get more sleep. You tend to be healthier. You're better with your mind. You're more clear, more sharp. If you don't get sleep, you start getting kind of droggy and kind of like, I don't know. So it's not good for your body, for your mind.
You mentioned the subconscious mind when you're sleeping. I've read quite a few books about the power of the subconscious mind during the day. So basically what we attract during the day, the quality of our day, you know, what we create during the day is actually created while we're sleeping. There's a lot of philosophies that believe that. So,
right. Well, so according to the American Hypnosis Association, our logical—
That's a thing?
That's a thing.
Whoa.
It is. The AAJ.
The AAJ.
Aha. Uh-huh. Exactly. Nice. Aren't they clever?
Great band. Makes sense. Great band from the 1980s.
Okay.
The Ahas.
Oh, yeah.
Take Me Home.
Yes.
Remember that song?
That was a good song.
Now you're going to dream about
all
it.
All falsetto. Exactly. Yeah,
that's right.
So our conscious mind that we're using right now is 12% of our mind's power. That's our logic, our reasoning, our intentions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to create that. All that is in our 12% conscious mind versus our subconscious mind. Our dreaming mind is 88% of our mind's power. That's all of our feelings and emotions and intuition and ability to connect the dots between things. So if we act, most people don't even value their subconscious mind. It's like, it doesn't even count because you can't see it. It's like in your blind spot. So it's not there. But the people that I think are wise, Albert Einstein, for example, he was a big proponent of accessing the subconscious mind to solve problems. It's like it's possible to bridge the gap between the 12% and the 88%, to have 100% of your mind's power online.
How? I need that.
Well,
mushrooms?
There you go. That's it. That's my whole thing and I'm out. Drop my mic. I'm going to drop somebody else's mic. It just doesn't
psychedelics, dude? What is it? I don't want to do drugs.
Well, it's kind of a freebie, I think, when people do drugs, and I've done some myself, there is definitely like a, oh my God, everything's connecting.
Yeah.
But it's like you're getting a crutch to get there. But the truth is you can get there on your own and then you don't have to have the backlash that you would have if you do drugs or do something that's going to harm your brain. If you build, so one simple practice is by paying attention to your dreams every night. That is connecting the bridge between your conscious and subconscious mind. If you could, it's so simple.
Wait, okay, but all right,
and meditation is another way to do it.
Meditation's great. Yeah. Great mindful practice.
We do
breathwork. We do breath work.
Yeah.
We love it. That's we so love cool. breathing yeah. and working.
Quite enlightened around here.
I was going to say, like, again, what? Like, I'm not dreaming. So you're saying pay attention to your dreams every night. How can I force myself to dream?
So the trick is not to force yourself. You can't force it, but you can set a strong intention before you go to sleep.
That's it? Melatonin or NyQuil or ZQuil?
No. Because they will tend to stimulate your dreams, but not in a way that's sustainable. It ends up having an adverse effect. It's like diminishing returns. So set a strong intention before you go to sleep. Like literally make a ritual of it. If you want to light a candle, do a little meditation and say to yourself, like three times, I'm going to remember some dream when I wake up in the morning. It's like you're telling the dream maker, I'm paying attention. If you give me something, I'm going to remember it. And I swear there's going to be something, even if it's in the middle of the night, if you have to get up to pee.
Just set an intention.
Set a strong intention. But here's the other piece, is getting into the habit of writing something down when you wake up in the morning, even if it's not a remembered dream. You're thinking something. You're always thinking. So the first thing you wake up with in the morning, it could be some song, take me, whatever that is, whatever it is, write that down. Okay. If you get in the habit of writing something down, and you can put it in an app. Nobody really uses a dream journal anymore, although that's fine. But like there's an app that I use called Dream Journal Ultimate. It's a free app online. It's awesome. You can just press the voice recorder and just say, okay, I didn't really remember a dream, but I woke up for some reason thinking about my grandma and Christmas and that, like that pair of socks that she gave me that one year. Okay. Whatever. But so that's something that counts because you're still in your subconscious mind mode because you're still sort of sleepy.
Got it.
Record something. And then it's like you're creating the space, like the build it, they will come. If you create a habit of writing something down first thing in the morning, eventually one of those things that you write down is going to be a really serious dream. And you will have caught it. You will have built the muscles like you have so well developed.
Thank you.
Like dream muscles.
Yeah, they're great muscles.
Seriously, they are. Can we just take a moment to observe?
You zooming in?
The muscles. Yeah. See that
shit? Look at that.
A moment of silence.
See that shit? Look at that. For the so pecs. Vascular.
There we go. Okay.
That's great.
But seriously, dream muscles, muy importante. You build them. Build them and then the dreams will come.
Okay. I love that. That's an action item.
I have a
PowerPoint here. We do segments on the show sometimes.
Oh my
God. We have one for you.
Wow. Let's do a segment.
It's called What Do You Dream?
Aww. Hey. Ooh,
little Why Don't We? What was that? That was not Why Don't We.
That's incredible. That's what
that's
PowerPoint.
So cool, guys.
I'm yeah, so our producer Dylan makes these.
This is phenomenal.
Top-notch.
Yeah. Grade A PowerPoints.
Yep, grade A.
And maybe you could tell us what some of these things mean in dreams.
Okay.
Because we've all experienced all of these things. Number one, flying.
Yep.
You're flying in your dream.
Oh my God, that looks so cool. Flying is one of the best dreams ever. Most of the time, this is the best dream ever. Some people feel out of control and they're like, it was scary. But most of the time, people report this being euphoric. Because in a way, a flying dream, I think of it as a reward for having done something right. Mm. Usually our dreams will give us some kind of a gift if we're on track. It's kind of like, I don't know, a video game. I'm not a video gamer, but it's like, you get some dopamine hit if you're doing something right. So that is the ultimate, well, one of the ultimate dopamine hits that you can possibly get. And it tells you that you're rising above your circumstances. It, to me, in a word, it symbolizes mastery. Mm-hmm. You're like coming into power over whatever circumstances used to challenge you. It's like, now you got this.
I like that perspective because people who may not have the success in the physical realm can almost have like this immense wealth in their dreams.
Totally.
Just seems
totally.
Pretty valuable. Like, I want to fly. Like, that's a pretty good reward.
It is, exactly. And who's to say what success is or not? I mean, for some people, it's success just to wake up in the morning and just to like do anything in the day based on where they're at. But one of the, you talked about action items. One action item, if you have a dream like this, is to meditate on it a few minutes a day. Throughout the day, like throughout the next few weeks, because that dream, usually when people talk about it, you can see a sparkle in their eyes. You see that they sit up, it's like they tap into a higher version of themselves. And I believe that you're given these dreams to be, it's like a carrot of like to follow into some higher realm of yourself so that you can start to make that more normal so that flying aspect of you becomes your, like your new set point.
Your life. You're flying exactly. in real life. That's awesome. Okay. Exactly. What about this one? We've all done it. Falling. Yeah. When you're falling, what does it mean?
Oh
and
my
also,
God.
If you're falling and you hit the ground from a very high point, you die. I heard you die in real life.
Okay. Old wives' tale on that one, because the people that there's, I mean, I, well, unless we, they don't live to tell the tale, but I've talked to so many people. I just had one the other day that I fell, hit the ground and it was like, and I'm here. I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Pinch me. Am I dreaming?
She's three dimensional.
She didn't seem hurt.
Hologram.
Though, so I don't know.
I'm good. So there's two different ways to look at falling dreams. And the first way is kind of the ordinary way. And that kind of means that you're out of control. Something's going on in your life that's overwhelming you. You don't feel grounded. You feel like the rug's been pulled out from underneath you. You're not in control of your circumstances. So that's kind of the first way to look at it. Like, wow, my dream is helping to vent out my feelings of overwhelm. But a kind of a cooler, more metaphysical version of this, this might seem a little woo-woo, but are you open to hear a little
woo-woo? Yeah,
woo-woo?
I love woo-woo. Oh, yeah. Airy fairy, let's go.
Okay.
Fugazi.
All right. So there's a tribe called the Senoi from the highlands of Malaysia, and they were discovered by an anthropologist called Kilton Stewart, and he said that of all the tribes, the dreaming tribes that he ever studied, these people were the most enlightened that he had ever come across. And there's a few different markers of what made them so enlightened. And one of them was the way they related to their falling dreams. He said that they believed that falling dreams indicate that there are falling spirits that are calling you into your depth so that you can become stronger. You can become more related to your roots so that you can become this like more grounded version of yourself. And the goal in a flying dream, I mean, in a falling dream, is to learn how to fall well, like in the Matrix, like, so if you remember that if you're dreaming that you're falling, you're like, if you can try to remember, okay, fall well, you can slow it down and like land and know that it's not a bad dream. Most people in the world right now think falling dream, oh, that's bad. Something bad's going on with me. No. I think it's calling something deeper, but beyond the bling bling of Tinseltown is calling you to do something more meaningful with your life.
I've been having skydiving dreams.
Ooh.
So, like I'm falling, but I'm consciously falling.
Which one are you in this picture? Just like
that. See the guy in the yellow suit?
Oh, yes.
Yep. I'm just coming in, grabbing some leg, and I'm out.
He just does that. Grabs leg.
Gone. That.
Exactly. Gone. That's like, that's kind
you're,
of-
You're falling exactly. with a safety net.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
Well, this is the thing though. In the dream, I pulled a chute very low.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh, okay. And maybe taking some risks. I'm a little low here.
Maybe you're taking some risks.
Yeah. I land very every time. Good.
See, this is what's so cool about dreams. It's like everyone starts to pop and you start to think symbolically. And that, and I think then the dream starts to really come to life.
How yeah. often though, little side note, how often do dreams actually just mean nothing? Because I have this thing about me where if someone is like, hey, I had this dream last night. And the moment they start telling me what it is, I clock out because I don't care because it's just like.
Yeah, they're like, hey, I saw a bear and it had your face.
Yes. So what do I do with this information? I'm exactly. just, every time I just go, well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
You're insane.
Not you're insane. It's just like, whoa, just, how, like, cool. I'm going to go work out and
what do we do next?
Right. Exactly. Well, this is what we do when we're presented with something that we don't have a context for and we don't know what to do with. If somebody just started talking a foreign language that you'd never heard before, you would do the same thing. Like, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Have a nice day. Bye-bye. But the moment you start learning the language, like I lived in Japan for a while, I lived in Spain for a while, and I learned how to speak those languages. And I know at first it was like, I can't communicate with these people. But the moment I started picking up a few phrases, it's like, oh my God, they're actually saying something.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. It's all starting to make sense. And then yeah. it becomes intriguing. So that's why there's a value in a dream dictionary. I brought you guys one of my dream dictionaries.
Oh, let's go.
It's got some crazy symbols in there. It's a 21st century-ish. I mean, it was written like, I don't know, 10 years ago. So it doesn't have Uber in there and stuff like that.
Oh, hey, give me something that you've dreamt about recently, boys. And let me tell you what the dream dictionary says about that. Maybe like an object,
I haven't had a dream like probably, I haven't remembered one in like 10 years. So I have one from when I was a kid.
Oh, let's talk about it.
Yeah. I would always be walking around neighborhoods that I had never been in before. So there were neighborhoods that like my subconscious mind would create, like Inception wow. almost. And people
Were they abandoned?
No, they were like, it was very gray skies over like residential neighborhoods, but that didn't exist. I'd never been to them before.
So was it a consistent neighborhood that you would
go
into?
No, it was different ones all the time. And when I would walk, I would encounter people that I had never met before.
Wow.
And the wind would be blowing leaves, but there was no sound from the leaves. And finally I would look over at someone and they would be like looking straight ahead and then they would go like this.
Ooh.
And they would look at me.
Sounds
and then
like a horror movie.
And then they would say something. And they would go like this. They would say stuff to me, but there was no sound.
Oh no!
And they would just be in my face, this close, saying stuff to me, and then I'd wake up.
Oh no!
Oh my! So, what was your feeling when you woke up from these dreams? Did you like it? Was it scary?
It was pretty fucking scary.
It was.
I'll be honest with you. Yeah, it was just a weird neighborhood with like gray skies and weird people with no voice talking.
Okay, so can I throw in like a few thoughts of what I think?
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
All right. So from my perspective, everything and everybody that shows up in your dream is an aspect of you. So the dreamer is everything. And Carl Jung, the late great father of psychotherapy, said the same thing. So I'm not making that up.
Right.
So if it were my dream, I would say that a new neighborhood represents a new aspect of myself that I haven't yet explored. So to me, that's a really cool aspect because in a way you could wake up from that dream and feel like you've explored territory. It's kind of like having read a book that you never actually read, but you know what's in there because some part of you so quickly figured that out. Like your subconscious mind being so smart, you explored a place that you've never had to physically go to. Mm-hmm. So that's amazing. So people that are talking and words are, they're not really speaking words or they're not, it's not coming out audibly. So to me, if it were my dream, I'd feel like, okay, this is I'm venting an issue that I'm having with communication.
Yeah.
Maybe it's telling me I need to listen more. I need to figure out like, often when somebody has a different communication style from us, we'll just kind of block them out like they don't count, like whatever, they're not my person. But maybe this dream is, if it's my dream, it's telling me I need to pay attention to people that speak differently than I do. And maybe I need to like really listen and get more intuitive so I understand what they mean and not get so caught up in their words. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, we could play with that.
Yeah, I was tried so hard to listen, but they just never said anything.
So like, was there trying, anybody?
And it upset me.
Was there anybody, I mean, in your life at that time that was speaking about things that you didn't understand, that you couldn't relate to?
I mean, it was when I was a kid. It could have been like, it could have been around the time like when my parents were getting divorced potentially. I don't know. Something like that. I'm
what
not
about
sure.
Anything having to do with Pete perhaps?
I don't think it had to do with Pete, but it okay. could have. Pete was a friend of mine who fell off the side of the flat earth.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. There was one. Fuck. There's the last.
I was told this story. Well, he had flat I haven't feet. Told this he story had flat in feet. So long. Yeah. So dad was stationed in Antarctica, and we stumbled upon the side of the flat earth.
The last thing that Mike, which is very traumatic, the last thing that Mike heard was.
And that was him falling into the cosmos. It's never left my mind.
Wait, so he died?
Yeah, well, I mean, I can't be for sure, but if anything, he's floating in space right now.
Yeah.
But okay. Listen, no,
I'll be honest with you, ma'am. This story is
ma'am.
Well, no, it's a respectful term.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll take it.
The story
I'll totally take it.
It's a weird place.
Wait, so he just kind of went off on a tangent and
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Like left you behind, like you were buddies, yeah, you and then all of a sudden he went south.
Yeah,
listen, the earth is flat. All right.
And I just have one more. This is a quick one. And I think this one might even be in your list. Another hard one for me is there's people I really want to just punch in the face.
Uh-huh.
And man, I hate when you throw a punch in your dream and it just doesn't go anywhere. It is like you're throwing a punch in a puddle of honey or like molasses.
Yeah. Or you're trying to run. You're trying
running
to run
too.
And
you can't get anywhere. Right. But the punching, like I'm like, I finally got him. And I'm just like, and it's usually to protect myself. And I go like this and it's just like,
oh, I love what you just said, though. Like, it's so important. It's not just about the dream. It's about what the dreamer says about it. Because it's like what you just said is I tried to punch him, but it just didn't go anywhere. It's like the act of violence isn't necessarily going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
It's like the dream wisdom is saying, like, there's something else for you. And anyway, try to get somewhere. When we run, I mean, who are we running from? Usually something scary that's back there that we think is going to hurt or kill us.
Yep.
But if it's all an aspect of ourselves, that some shadow part of us that is probably trying to deliver a gift, trying some kind of wisdom, but it's in strange wrapping. And we're like, no, but it's like, this is a diamond. This is going to change your life. And you're like, no. So of course your dream is going to slow it down. Usually running, there's obstacles that slow it down. That's one way of looking.
I used to dream that I was running away from like, lions, panthers, gators. And then I finally decided I can't run. It doesn't work.
Right.
The gator is just, it's there.
So what'd you do? Start like laying down?
Started whooping the gator's ass.
Oh, yeah.
Like nice. Whooping that ass.
Yeah.
Whoop like that it ass. Would bite me and I'd be like, like going in. Did you guys ever have that? God. Or was that just me?
That particular one with the gators?
Or lions or like big cats. It was like a thing with big cats.
Usually with me, it would be more like monsters. Like I would fight skeletons and stuff like that.
Oh my God. Interesting. Okay. So can I say one thing? I know got you're like itching here.
Yeah. I just went cross-eyed. I saw it.
Okay, you go first and then I'll talk about your gators. And
no, I think you should speak on the gators.
All right. So any big animal, I mean, if everyone's that shows up in your dream is an aspect of you, to me, a big animal is like a part of your animal instincts, a part of your power that has been suppressed. Because normally, like in order to grow up and get loved and be a part of society, you have to be a good boy. You have to be nice. You can't be super like rowdy. You can't hit. So a lot of us have suppressed our animal instincts. And we, even though you guys are like, you have this platform to have a place to express, which is super healthy, super great.
Yeah.
But most people, and maybe before you didn't have that space to, I would say a gator to me symbolizes anger. And if you're a nice, calm person that gets along with everybody, then there's some part of your anger that's like, God, I just wanted to. So it's a part of you that if integrated, it's not like the goal of the dream is to now become a gator and go eating everybody.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't like
but
gators.
But to integrate it But to integrate it, because every part of you, even that, I mean, to me, I think the shadow characters that we run from are the most interesting of all.
Dreams of an alligator symbolize the predatory energy in your life.
Or the fear of being eaten alive. Dream dictionary.
It's like you Who wrote that?
That's kind of amazing.
That's strange.
I have a whole section for dreaming about Costco?
That's what I was going to read, actually. We're very alike, Mike.
I don't know.
Dreams of Costco reveal your attitudes and feelings about abundance and that you are feeling the need to stockpile and store up for lean times. Perhaps some sort of zombie apocalypse. Sort of bunker
there might
scenario.
Even be a zombie. Actually, I think I left zombie out of there, which is very sad. In the next edition of this, I'll have to add zombie apocalypse.
You got good ones in here. Here's one. Quesadilla. Quesadilla. Dreams of a quesadilla symbolize circular patterns with regards to the way you nurture yourself.
Food is all about nurturing.
And I had to.
Okay.
Here we are again. I had to do this. I had to see what penis meant. Dreaming of a penis meant.
You had to do it. Go there.
It's in there?
Dreams of a penis represent masculine power. Dreams of an erect penis represent virility, potency, sexuality, strength, and a feeling of being competent in the world and capable of producing and manifesting your creative ventures. So in long short.
You're just not going to read the link.
Survey says.
Oh, my bad.
Yay.
If a penis is limp, then this represents feelings of powerlessness and emasculation. But it sounds like it's good to dream about dicks.
we talk about dicks quite a bit on this show.
I know. I've heard.
We're doing really well.
Yes, we are.
You have to just say it really 20 of them right now just to get it out of your system.
I think we're being like respectful. Yeah. It's like a trap. We call it dick sand. It's like quicksand, but just dick talk.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Here's a problem. Right before you said that, I was just going straight to Dickland. And here's why, man. I'm calling
you. One-way ticket.
When I was also younger, right around the time when my wiener started to feel fuzzy, I used to have a dream about, and I mentioned this on the very first episode with a sex therapist, so old that we hadn't even taken a Polaroid from it, the one after it. It was such an old episode.
Wow.
And she said to me, what is your biggest wish or sexual wish in life? And it comes from a dream of mine, which was a dream that I had when I was younger, that I was having sexual intercourse, tied to a large bundle of balloons floating through the sky. And so it was a seated chair where me and a woman were able to sit attached at the penile while floating underneath a couple hundred red balloons through the sky. And this was such an incredible moment.
For
my, it was incredible.
That's beautiful.
Oh my God, that ties in flying and sex. That's amazing.
And I
don't think I've ever heard that dream.
And here's the most important part of that dream. I woke up from it and I was covered in...
You had a wet dream.
Glaze. I was covered in glaze. Okay. And so this dream. And so to this day, I still want to have balloon sex. And I told the sex
therapist. As you should go do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to fulfill these dreams.
If someone from Pornhub is watching this, I am 100% down to have balloon sex if you'll pay for the contraption and provide the woman.
Oh, that.
Well, I mean, I could.
And the woman.
Pay for the contraption.
Sure, someone will do it. What do we got?
Fly. Oh, we forgot the game we were playing.
Oh, shit, the
game. Well, not really. All right, next one.
We got into the good stuff.
Teeth falling out.
Ooh. Teeth falling out. Yeah.
I've never had this happen. But it's on the slideshow that my producer made.
Well,
it's
I know
disgusting
Dylan was sharing with me earlier that he's had those dreams. Can we hear Dylan?
Also on prefaces by...
Who the...
That's me. I'll take full blame for this one today.
I've also had flying dreams recently, so let's balance it out.
Okay, let's balance it.
Usually teeth falling out linked to anxiety, feeling overwhelmed.
Your teeth falling out?
Recent one, I felt it in my body.
Because you and Mike hooked up with the same girl?
Potentially, that could do it.
Your teeth would fall out.
But that's the most recent.
Okay, so you felt, like you said you felt it in your body, but
it felt so real.
So were they crumbling? Were you falling like, shoot? They were just falling out. Okay.
And like out of my teeth in my hand, like brrr.
Okay, so before I say something about teeth, I have to say something about venting dreams in general. I believe that any really scary, funky dream like that would be put under the venting dream category. And from my perspective, when we have these kind of dreams, it's our subconscious mind's attempt to help clean us out, like to get rid of the stuff. So it's not trying to haunt us, not trying to hurt us, not trying to make things worse. It's trying to show you what's on its way out. So you can ask yourself what kind of, so anything having to do with the mouth is about communication, self-expression. So sometimes the nicest guys have teeth falling out dreams or have dreams about these animals that they're like running from because there's like this, oh, I should have said that. Or I wished I had communicated that thing. That could be part of it. Or because teeth are symbolic. Like if we were in the wild, if we were all cavemen, cavewomen, without teeth, we wouldn't survive very well. Because it would, like, you use your teeth to like, your teeth,
yeah,
or to eat. So you can't eat without your teeth. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to survive without them. So usually it means that you're venting out survival issues. And that's a good thing because it means that those fears are on its way out. And I always ask people, so if your dream did its job and it helped you get all that fear out, now you've got some bandwidth to play with. What do you want to bring in? As opposed to just recycling the fears. So now that that fear is gone, what do you want to affirm in its place? So I would put that to you, Dylan.
Great.
What do you want? Now that we got rid of the funky, what do you want?
Let's see. What do you want?
I want it all, Kelly.
Want it all? Is that all? Is that it? That's it? Okay. Maybe a little more specificity would be good, but that's good. You can have it all.
I want it all, Kelly.
And ding, all right. You got it. Where's my ponytail?
Being chased. I actually am often being chased in my dreams, I feel like. I'm always just being chased, and I have sometimes when I get caught, I can't scream. Nothing comes out.
Oh, that was another one of mine. Mm. When you go to scream and you scream and there's just no sound.
No sound.
Right, right, right. Okay, so what do you know what you're being chased by?
No.
Do you have a sense of it? Like
Slenderman. Momo.
Okay.
One, either Slenderman or Momo. You take your choice.
Probably some evil shit, man.
Yeah.
So you think, so if you could see like right now, because in some way when we talk about dreams, we're connecting with the dream. Mm. And even if there were some blank spots, you can fill in the gaps right now. You have creative license to do that. So what do you think is behind you that's chasing you?
That guy in that picture.
Okay.
Well, I think that's the guy that's running.
Yeah.
He's chasing me.
Okay. So I believe that there's a few different ways of looking at chasing dreams, but typically it means that you're running from, it's a survival strategy. Again, if we were in the wild and there was something bigger, scarier, more powerful than you, it would be smart to run.
But why? Yeah, you're right.
So that's
just in my dreams, like in real life, I try not to run all the time. I try to like stand. So why am I such a pussy in my dreams?
Because you don't know what's back there. Because you're afraid.
The fuck is this guy?
Because you assume it's going to kill you or it's going to hurt you. Mm. But the thing is, it's like a practice, kind of like the falling dream. If you can practice remembering to fall well, remember if you find yourself running in a dream, if you can, remember, oh my God, this is a part of myself that I don't like, that I've suppressed, that I'm scared of. I need to be curious about this. And you don't have to do this in your dream, by the way, because this takes like lucid dreaming is a masterful skill. It's not something everyone can just do. So there's a cheat, there's a hack, there's a way of getting around this. In your waking state, just by talking about this dream, you can sort of meditate on what you would do if you were going to be back in that dream and you were lucid. So right now, let's just do this if you don't mind. If you were back in your dream, but you're aware right now and you could do anything because it's your dream, you're the director of the dream, you can do whatever you want in order to become the powerful one. What would you do in your dream right now if you were in it and you could do anything you wanted?
I'd solve a Rubik's Cube sub 20 seconds.
Okay. Wow. Okay. But while the guy's chasing you?
Yep. Yes. That's the art of it too.
Okay. Wait. So the guy's chasing you and you would pause. Would you pause him in his tracks?
No, I think you keep running. Yeah.
That'd be impressive. I would love to solve a Rubik's Cube sub 20 seconds.
And then how would you feel if you solved it?
Probably pretty accomplished. Probably like I did it.
Oh my God. So you look like you're kind of like, wow.
Yeah. I've been wanting to solve a Rubik's Cube sub 20 seconds since I was 7.
So maybe that's what's chasing you.
The
thing that's chasing you, it's like pushing you. It's like making you become a stronger, more creative version of yourself. And sometimes the thing that chases us is our own insecurity or the thing that is like the chip on the shoulder.
Yo, this dude, what if it's like this dude kind of looks like me, dude? What if I'm chasing myself?
It kind of looks like you. Bam.
What if I'm chasing myself?
Or
what if he's got the hoodie and then he takes the hoodie off and there's an unsolved Rubik's Cube. And he's like, hi, Logan.
Oh, shit. I was thinking.
He is you. Totally.
I'm going to do it. Danny, give me a Rubik's Cube.
Do it now. You got to activate your dream. Here's one thing, another to-do thing. When you have a dream that you remember and you talk about it in your waking life, do something to honor the dream. Do some kind of action. I call it your act dream activation that honors the fact that you had this dream. So the fact that you've now connected the dots between the chasing and the Rubik's Cube, what are you going to do?
I'm going to solve a fucking Rubik's Cube.
Do it.
I'm going to solve a Rubik's Cube.
You can do it, Logan.
I did 47 seconds once.
Wow.
Woo.
Oh my God.
What about Kelly, this? Just one more on the running guy, because I just want to think about it for a second.
Yes.
What if he's chasing you for a reason that's positive? Because, like, here's what I'm asking. Like,
exactly.
Say, for example, you were at a dinner earlier. This guy was sitting next to you because you were with a girl. You're having a great date, right? It was an older woman that you had just met recently. You get up, you pay for dinner. Okay. The guy comes back with your card. You sign the bill. You put it down. Then you and the woman leave. This guy notices that you left your Amex card on the table.
Exactly.
And he's chasing you simply to give you your credit card back because he doesn't want some sort of identity theft or some sort of credit card crisis to happen.
And you're running.
And you're running, screaming. Ah! And he's like, sir, your Amex. And he's just running after you. And your whole life, you're running from this poor guy who's just simply trying to keep your credit score
Mike,
high.
Mike, you are totally winning the prize right now.
Like,
this
what
is
the
like
fuck,
this
dude?
Is like star on the forehead.
I never once thought of anything. Yeah.
You
like
have
that,
to.
Dude.
You have every because it's all like, I mean, Einstein said either everything in this world is on your side or it's not. It's on your side. So even the scary creatures are here to make you stronger. Hello, are you okay?
It's okay, buddy.
You just like, think about your credit limit, dude. You
the
want
first,
some
the first
schmuck
time
getting around with that card?
I did this with one of my dreams. I had, because I'm always teaching people, oh, embrace your scary dreams. And then I had one myself of this Cyclops lumberjack that was gonna kill me. And I was running through the woods and I got into some cabin and I hid under this table and I'm like, oh my God, he's gonna kill me. And then I'm like, no, he's trying to give me a gift. I'm like, what's the gift you're trying to give me? Oh my God. And he said, I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to protect you. And he had this like axe thing and he was trying to like cut off the energy of all negative things
oh,
that were
wow.
coming. I'm like, you're my protector.
But why
it's
do
like,
you have one eye?
Duh. Because he's single-minded focused on helping me. So it's like, you're my ally. And all this time I've been running from you through all these dreams. And it's like, oh, he's here to make me stronger so that I can be me and not have to be afraid.
Yeah, what if he told you that? And then out of nowhere, just hacked your head off. You know what I'm saying? He's like, no, trust me, you're fine. And so you're just like, all right, well, in that case, and just cut your skull out. I know, sorry.
No, but that didn't happen. I mean, I don't know. In most cases, I mean, there may be exceptions.
Yeah.
But I've dealt with some pretty dark dreams. People usually don't seek somebody like me out if they're having all flying, happy pony dreams.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Balloons on chairs, having sex dreams. Oh, they don't call me for those.
Yeah,
they call
yeah.
me about these funky, scary dreams. So I've seen the scariest ones. And I've found in working with them and having somebody look at the thing that is chasing them, I don't think there's been one instance where the thing, when uncovered, isn't some kind of credit card Amex trying to be delivered. Always some part of their power.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
I've been waiting all day for this slide because this relates
I'm
to me.
Scared.
Sex dreams. Oh. Kelly, please help.
Okay. What do you want
Please
to know?
I have more sex in my dreams than I do in real life.
Whoa, that's a lot.
That's a ton.
That's a ton.
That's a
metric ton.
Metric shit ton.
No, it's not. You guys, I'm not having that much sex in real life.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
I'm not.
Yeah,
what's a lot of sex to you, Spence? You have a girlfriend, so what's a lot of sex to you? Because I bet you have more than me.
I don't know.
I may have more partners than you. Maybe that's where your concern or your hesitancy is coming from. Facts.
Okay.
But like, as far as like the actual number of times I've had sex, it's not like that high.
Okay.
But in my dreams, I'm telling you, I'm laying the pipe.
You're
just frequently.
You're just laying the wood, huh?
What does it mean?
Okay.
What does it mean?
So everything in dreams is a metaphor. Okay, but wait, let's step back from the metaphor. So sometimes sex dreams are just an opportunity to fulfill a fantasy. Like, I mean, that was a perfect example, that
yeah.
the balloons and
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But just to get to blow off steam, because we're sexual creatures. And if we were to act out our sexual energy in our waking life all the time, then we'd get arrested. We'd be in jail somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be humping posts and people
yeah.
that are totally inappropriate.
We're, so. Some, yeah, yeah. we're some sick
SOBs.
So sick SOBs.
Yeah. So in order to not get arrested and to be sort of in like part of polite society, we suppress, subliminate, we hide a lot of stuff. So in our dreams, bam, the freaks come out at night. It's totally healthy to have sexual dreams on a regular basis. Men have more of them than women. Women do tend to have more romantic sexual dreams that are a little bit more about courting and all that. Men tend to have more like, bam, let's get it on.
Yeah.
Part
yeah.
of it is to just is to keep yourself healthy. But on a metaphorical side, sex is about joining. It's about union. It's about connecting and intimacy. Into me, I see. It's like usually whoever you're having sex with, not always with like a Playboy centerfold. Sometimes you have sex in dreams with the most bizarre people that you would never have sex with in waking life. I don't know if you guys can relate to any of that.
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
Hello. Yeah.
You're like the next door neighbor? No.
Susie?
Oh. What?
You son of a bitch.
I knew it.
Neighbor
I
Susie.
Knew it. Susie. I knew it.
Get over here, Susie.
That's why she's been swarming around the house recently. She's felt your
she's
energy.
Looking
she's
with
felt
binoculars
your
right
tentacles.
Now. Totally.
My sexual tentacles. Yes. But,
your tentacles, not testicles. Neighbor, oh my God.
Susie, you dirty
dog. Did I just
dog.
Say testicles? I can't believe I'm sorry. Okay, cancel. Delete.
No.
Okay, but here's the thing. Ask yourself, whoever it is that you're having sex with or having sexual energy with in your dreams, if you can describe that person in three words, then know that that's in some way, this might not sound very romantic, but you're connecting with that part of yourself in a profound way. So if you think about the last person you had a sexual dream with, you don't have to say who it was, but think about the three metaphors or three adjectives that you would use to describe that person. See if you can, so who wants to volunteer?
It would have to be him. I, like I said, haven't remembered a dream since 67.
Okay, here we
since
go, Logan.
Back in NAMM.
Hit me.
What do you want?
Three adjectives to describe the last person you remember having a sexual dream
I
with.
I can't remember a dream.
Were they anonymous?
67.
Okay. No, but that's okay. Because these are personal. Okay, here's a guy.
What's wrong with us?
No.
Kelly, none of us remember any of our dreams.
You guys are doing, because you guys are living you've talked about a million dreams today. You guys are doing better than most
people. Yeah,
but
those were all from when I was a kid.
But
I don't
bet
have
you,
anything
starting
now.
Starting tonight,
dreamless. I'm not.
You're going to start remembering your dreams because we're talking about this. But I met a guy not that long ago who said, oh wait, you're Dr. Dream. Can I, he like kind of confessed a dream to me. He's like, I'm having sex with some really weird people in my dream. Mm. And there was like some old lady. He's like, I'm not attracted to old ladies. I don't know why. I'm feeling so guilty and bad about myself. I'm like, okay, describe her in three words. He said she was really nice. She was like she thought I was great. She was kind of like a grandmother. Like
Dusty?
She thought I was
Dusty?
Like a dusty little runt?
I don't know what that means.
What are you doing? But
I asked him what was going on in his life, and he said that he was going through a really hard time. And so in some way, he's connecting with this nurturing part of himself that's kind of like his champion. Like, you could do it, honey. You're going to be great. It's going to be fine.
He's just digging out.
His grandma.
Oh, he's shit. Like, I'm not. No, but who we're. Okay, we're not going anywhere with this.
No, yeah, we are. We're going to sex with grandmas. There's a whole channel I'm pulling up for this.
There you go, and we're back. I think that's going to get deleted. But
no, it's not. Trust me. It's not.
But it really is. If anybody's feeling any guilt or shame about who they're having sex with in their dream, all bets are off. Hall pass in your dream. Dreams are the ultimate hall pass. Even if you're in a committed relationship and you have sex with someone else or your partner does, it's all fair and game. It's in your dreams because it's not personal.
You say hall pass, but yes. There's been situations where I've woken up and my girlfriend's just a little angry with me.
Because
for a dream.
Woken up. Did you tell her that you
shut up?
Not seriously.
Oh, you're
angry.
Reamed,
like she laughs.
You're gonna be
she laughs
for even saying
no,
this.
No. I've joked with her about it.
She's angry because of what you did in the dream.
Yeah.
Wait, in her own dream.
In her own dream.
In her own dream.
Oh,
this happens all the time.
Yeah.
You piece of shit. I can't believe
you guys have never
you.
Had this where you're like sleeping with a girl and then she looks up. She's like,
yeah.
What were you doing in that dream of yours?
Wait.
Like,
oh,
what
in your
the fuck?
Oh,
I just slept.
No.
In her
dream.
She was dreaming that he was cheating on her.
Yeah.
In her dream.
And so she's
in her
pissed
dream.
As if it really happened. She's like, oh, you're busted. He's like, hey, I've just been sleeping here. I've done nothing.
Yeah.
Here's some
I was
roses.
Like, I was just dancing in the cosmos. And I'm like,
that's not fair. Yeah. So there's two ways of looking at it. All right. From one perspective, if a person dreams that their beloved is cheating on them, because everyone in the dream is the dreamer, I always ask this person, where are you cheating on yourself? Where are you cheating yourself out of an opportunity? It's not about that other person. 99% of the time. However, every once in a while, and I had a series of dreams way back when that a boyfriend that I was with was cheating on me. And at first I was like, oh, that was random. And then they kept happening. I'm like, that was random again. That was same girl. I'm getting more details. Oh my God, did you? And he looked so guilty. And it was like, busted.
Was it right?
Yes.
What the So you're saying Spencer really is cheating on his? No.
Most of the time, dreams are a metaphor. They're symbolic. But every once in a while, we can psychically tap into things. And I described the girl to a T. He finally broke down and admitted it. And then we broke up. But yeah. So every once in a while, you can be tapping into something. But you have to first look at yourself. Everybody in your dream is you. So your girlfriend, I would say she has to look at her own insecurities and the places where she's not totally honoring herself.
Can you hypnotize me?
Let's do it.
I'm just going to jump right into it. I want you to hypnotize me.
Okay. About what would you like to develop, to be better at, to let go of? What's in the way of your greatest expression?
I would like to be a little quicker when it comes to expressing myself.
Express yourself.
I want my brain to function a little faster.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Well, yeah. So let me just
get- and by the way, I know it's possible because some days I'm fucking on. I'm on. And I'm like, I'm thinking three sentences ahead of the one I'm saying. And some days I don't know what word is going to come out next. I know what direction I want to go. But it'd be sick if I could talk like Ben Shapiro.
I should know who that is, but I don't.
How sick would that be?
He's very fast, but I also feel like he's probably not like a champion boxer or a really good like nightlife guy.
Well, maybe he talks fast because he's not a champion boxer.
That's what I'm
like. Maybe I'm constantly getting hit in the head.
Well, you just do so many things. You know what I'm saying? Like he's focused. His only thing, if you watch what he does on Twitter all day, is studying like political. So like, yeah, if I ask you a question about wrestling, I bet you can answer me in a heartbeat.
Well, yeah, but also like, how can I just get the sprockets to fire faster?
Right. Okay. So what? Yeah. Okay.
Do sprockets fire?
No.
Sure they do. Not. Synapses.
Spark plugs.
Synapses.
Sprockets turn.
Okay, but for sure, getting hit in the head, like that's a physiological thing some control of. Can you like box without people hitting your head?
Nah, I'm working on it.
Oh, shadow boxing? It's a classic.
I mean,
you just gotta not get hit, yo. Slick.
Okay.
Slip.
Okay.
Slip. Roll. Pull. Slip.
Nice.
Pull. Slip. Slip. Roll.
Okay.
Slip. Roll. Pull.
This could go on for a while.
Block. Jab. Slip. Pull.
All right. Now look at this clock.
Okay.
All right.
We got him back.
So what I'm hearing is that you want to maximize your potential. You want to be like,
God dang right, Kelly.
I want it all, Kelly.
You can have it all, you guys. That's why I'm here. All right. So I want you to just take a look, find a spot on the ceiling or on the wall, just some point that you're going to focus on, some point of fascination and just.
Can it be Steve-O's face that I drew?
Yes, it can. Just cool. But identify a spot there. You got it?
Yep.
Got your spot? Okay. So if you can, put your hands straight out like this. Okay. And you guys can do it too if you want.
Come on, guys.
Everybody, you too.
Just put a spot on the wall. Look at it. Just put your hands out.
There you go. Okay, so find a spot that you can focus in on and just keep staring at that spot. And I'm going to count to 10 from 10 backwards to 0. And with each count, you might notice yourself becoming a little bit more sleepy, a little bit more relaxed. And you might notice your eyelids beginning to get heavier and on or before 0. Your eyelids will close and you'll go into a very deep state of receptivity to the most positive suggestions I can give you. So starting with 10, taking some big deep breaths and imagine with every exhale.
I am so sorry. Can we start over?
Yes, that's okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
That was on purpose.
It wasn't.
That was totally on purpose.
Wasn't. Okay. I don't know who Biscuit is.
I'm sorry.
Who's Biscuit?
No, I do know who he is. He's from Atlanta.
Hi, Biscuit from Atlanta. Your timing is wonderful. It's okay. Integrate it. We're giving your
time. Can we start ask, have you ever heard of the silence feature?
Also, on top of that, are you fucking kidding me right now, dude? I was literally zoned into my positive.
You can get
I'm
back
gonna find
in.
A better spot.
You can get back in.
I'm in.
Let's get back
in. No, I'm in.
Find another spot. Okay. And tell me when you got your spot. Everybody got their spot? Okay. Hands are up. Receptive. Taking some deep breaths. Every exhale, you're becoming more and more relaxed. You're letting go of any stress or worry. And your eyelids start to become heavier and heavier. And again, on or before 0, your eyelids will close. And the moment they do, you'll go into a deep, receptive, relaxed state. Open to only the most positive suggestions that you hear. So 10, eyelids just start to become a little bit heavy, eyes a little itchy. Notice your body beginning to feel so good, like you're relaxing in one of those big giant chairs you've got here in your studio. Just feel the weight of gravity beginning to relax you. 9. Deep breathing, beginning to let go. And it feels so good to just let go. There's nothing you need to do right now except for let go. The more you let go, the better. 8. Eyelids start to begin to get a little bit heavier, like little teeny weights are on your lids. Every time you blink, your eyes get a little bit heavier. 8, 7, a little bit more. Letting go with every exhale, releasing and letting go of anything that is negative, any old conditioning that is not serving you, you're letting go with every exhale. So that with every new breath, 6, you're breathing in positive energy coming in through the crown of your head. Imagine there's a funnel at the top of your head that's breathing into your crown chakra. Golden light, brilliant light, the most enlightened energy. Getting more and more drowsy, those little weights on your eyelids becoming a little bit heavier every time you bat your eyelashes. The eyes become a little bit heavier, starting to drop in. 5, heavier and heavier, feeling so good to just relax, to just let go. Nothing you need to hold on to right now. Every exhale, you're letting go a little bit more, moving down to 4. 3, allowing all negativity to be released now. Any derivative of fear, any old thoughts that don't serve you, anything anybody's ever told you about yourself that wasn't positive is being released now once and for all, so that only positivity can come in through the crown of your head, that golden, intelligent, wise, sharp energy coming in that has you be so smart, on the ball. 3, 2, and just feel a grogginess moving gently through your body, through your chest, noticing your breathing becoming rhythmic. Notice the swallowing, everything relaxing. Very good, doing so good. 2, allowing yourself to feel heavier and heavier, yet being able to hold yourself up in your chair, but like a rag doll, your muscles just let go down to 1. And at 0, your eyes will close and just go deep asleep, going deep asleep, letting go. And when I say the words deep asleep, it just simply means a receptive state where you are open, completely open, more than you would normally be, to the most positive suggestion that I could possibly give you or that you could give yourself. So right now, imagining that there is that funnel on top of your head that is picking and choosing the best thoughts, the greatest creativity. So I want you to imagine yourself right now in the near future. And this is a future where you have been doing everything in your power to maximize your potential, your gifts, your talents, your body, your mind, your heart, your spirit. So you might be 6 months, maybe a year in your future, and you can't believe it. You can see yourself and your eyes are bright. They're shining. And for whatever reason, you have the biggest smile on your face because something really incredible is happening to you. Your mind is sharp and you're so proud of yourself for having this incredible talent, this ability to think 3 steps ahead. No matter how much physical exertion and boxing and all that stuff that you've been doing, you are sharp in your mind. So just play a movie in your mind of what it's like to be you at your maximum potential, mentally, spiritually, physically. So just envision kind of a day in your life of you being all circuits firing in the best way. Taking a couple more breaths. Big, deep breaths, breathing this in, the most positive, fulfilled, talented version of yourself. And I want you to land on one moment that represents the pinnacle expression of you being the way that you most desire to be. With your thoughts so sharp, and you're so calm in your body, you so trust yourself. You love who you've become. You are the best version of yourself, even better than you ever dreamed you could be. You're there now, right now. Take a big deep breath. Lock this vision of yourself in. Really see it in Technicolor. Bright colors, fill in the gaps with bright, bright colors. Make this image larger than life. You might associate sound, colors, maybe a smell, a taste, but most especially a feeling of what it's like to be you as your best, most amazing, magnificent self. You might even notice that you're glowing and you're not even trying. You're totally being yourself. This is who you've always been, by the way. This isn't a new version of you. This is who you've been beneath the surface. This isn't strange or scary. It's natural. So there's a very relaxed energy, even though there's this vitality and aliveness. You feel comfortable and calm. So see that image in your mind, emblazon it in your mind right now, like a tattoo. Taking a big deep breath, sear it into your mind, this image of yourself in your best, most magnificent, intelligent expression, your best self. Lock it in now. And I want you to allow a word to come to mind that describes this image of yourself. It might be a phrase, it might be a word. Hear it or see it written on a piece of paper, but nod your head gently once you have that word or that phrase that expresses who you are as your most magnificent self. Okay, excellent. You got it? Okay, I want you to say that word to yourself silently 3 times right now. I'm going to ask you to put your left forefinger and thumb together. It's the finger right next to your thumb. I want you to touch them to each other and give it a little squeeze, a little press right now as you say that word again. Pulse your finger and your thumb as you say that word to yourself and take a big deep breath. Each and every time you say that word and you press your thumb and forefinger together and you see yourself in this magnificent expression, it becomes more and more ingrained, more and more of a reality, taking over any other belief, any other thought you had about yourself that's less than that. This now is the override. It's taking over. It's now pre-paving your future. It's creating the most incredible future. You can't even, like, you need glasses, sunglasses to see this future. It's so amazing. So just get a sense that the future that you are creating as a result of this snapshot will blow your mind and be positive for every one that knows you, touches you, has anything to do with you. It leaves no one out. So one more big, deep breath. Say that word silently to yourself. And one more time, touch your finger, the forefinger and your thumb together. Give it a squeeze. Lock it in. And now I'm going to count you from 0 to 10. 0 will represent deep asleep, going a little bit deeper than before. Maybe even way deeper than before, so you can lock this in even further, deeper in your subconscious mind. And by the time I get to 10, you'll be wide awake, eyes open, alert, feeling great, but not yet. Starting with 0, get ready. You're going deep asleep all the way down, dropping into that wonderful relaxation as if you're getting a full 8-hour sleep right now. When you wake up later, you're going to feel so well rested. Give that forefinger and that thumb one more squeeze. Say that word one more time. See that image of yourself, so magnificent, so sharp, so wise, the best version of yourself. And the positive ripple effect that that has on the rest of the world is an added bonus. Moving up to 1, as if a staircase. You're stepping up, moving up to one, feeling physically relaxed. Another big, deep breath, moving up to two, feeling emotionally calm. Moving up to three, feeling free. Any old stories you used to tell yourself that weren't positive, that weren't helping, they're so long gone in your rearview mirror. Moving up to four, knowing that your dreams tonight are going to be vivid. They're going to help you to make this vision of yourself that you've connected with today. It's going to help make it even stronger. And if you have any dreams that you wake up with that you're not happy with, know that they're venting dreams, getting rid of anything that you don't want anymore. Clearing the path. And if the dreams are super positive, then know that these dreams are helping to propel you into your best, most amazing future. Moving up to four and five, moving up to six, feeling so good, starting to wiggle your toes, wiggle your fingers. One last time, press your forefinger and thumb together. Say that word to yourself. Seven. Beginning to feel the temperature in this room, starting to integrate and come back into this time and this space and this show and this studio with these people. Eight, nine, one more big deep breath, feeling so good. And 10, eyes open, wide awake, completely alert and aware, feeling so good. You can take your time opening your eyes. Be gentle with yourselves. Very good. Very, very good. Good job. When you're ready, Mike, eyes open, wide awake.
Whoa.
Very good. How are you guys doing? You got a little emotional there. Was there, what you guys connecting with?
Was Logan crying?
I think he really saw something beautiful.
Huh? You sad or you just like inebriated?
Did you get drunk in your hypothesis?
Oh yeah, I'm drunk.
You really look.
I took some swigs.
You look bad, man.
I took some swigs.
Yeah.
What's there? What'd you guys connect or anything that you want to share? Because it's private. It's obviously.
I found
your
a lake
own.
House.
You did?
Yeah, with a nice chair next to it, a patio, and there was a sunset. And I'll be honest with you, I had a child and a beautiful wife.
Wow.
I was 39 years old.
Very cool.
And the word was calm. There was an L in it and everything.
Wow.
I just don't believe it. I
all those true.
Hey,
don't
done.
Believe it.
It's pretty epic.
Yep. Very cool.
The word was calm.
Calm.
Kind of like comb.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Impressive. Survey says. Very good. Yeah. Who else? Want anything
beautiful
you want to
beautiful lake house, by the way. Any realtors out there? Wow.
I was in a office. Like my like a beautiful office for my company. And the word that came to mind was vibe. I just
cool.
stuck out with me.
It's a vibe.
Great. All right. Every time you hear that word, that vision gets stronger and yeah. stronger and stronger. It takes on a momentum of its own.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
What do we got,
anything
Jimmy?
You got?
I'm kind of embarrassed. I pictured I was a Super Saiyan. With purple hair.
A Super Saiyan?
Super Saiyan. It's a Dragon Ball Z character.
Oh, okay.
But not just any Super Saiyan, bro.
Oh.
I hate that. This is what I thought, but it was the Super Saiyan God, bro.
Awesome.
He was a Super Saiyan
like,
God.
Like in the gym?
Yeah. Like I just felt so like, just powerful.
Blitza!
Blitza! Take down your trouser. Snap your dick in half.
What was your word?
I felt like a super. The word was God.
That's great. Ugh. No, that's no. What?
Yeah,
that's,
don't be scared.
You know what?
Here's why.
Bro.
Here's why. Like,
this is
like
cool.
I think.
This
I think.
Cool.
I think I'm
good.
Definitely aware that there's like a little bit of like a God complex in me. Aware enough to not let it like affect the way I make decisions, but like that conqueror in me
yep.
definitely does feel really, really powerful and confident. And I like
yeah.
the responsibility of being that leader.
Yeah. Totally.
If that makes sense.
Well, I think in some way we all came here to this planet at this time to become our, to fulfill our destiny, to fulfill our capacity, to not just like play small. And this image that you have is you full out. And sometimes full out might look calm because you've got it. It's like you could be chill.
Lake house.
Right. You could be chill. Like, if, I mean, full on being alive will manifest differently for everyone. But this is super valid. And it's really amazing because it's kind of like, larger than life.
Yeah, larger than life. I just felt like I could just like
beautiful.
Do so many good, just amazing yes. things for humankind in exactly. this form.
As the Dragon Ball Z guy.
As the Dragon Ball Z guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just fucking purple hair.
Does he do good in Dragon Ball Z?
Yeah, he does good, bro. Well, there's some good gods and there's some bad gods.
But he's a good one.
Well, this one's a good god.
Wow.
Wow. I love it. It's powerful. It gives you juice. It makes you, yeah. So bravo. Thank you, you guys. Thank you for the
That was powerful.
Thank you for the privilege of letting me be in this space with you guys. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
You know, you're blowing my mind because I was told some stuff. I'm like, some people were like, don't go on that show. And I'm like, I had an instinct that there's gold here, even if you guys are like, you know, there could be all the whatever.
We're a little impulsive.
Yeah, which you should be. But I mean, you guys are amazing. I feel privileged
to
be in this space with you. Seriously.
Thank you.
Us too.
Yeah.
All right, I want to hop to the audio only.
What's on spot?
What?
Sorry, what's her books?
Oh, well, thanks, Hero.
Dylan.
Hero's
thanks,
journey.
Hold on. I'll get there. I will get there.
Whoa. Sorry.
I want to go to the audio only right now, Spotify and iTunes with Kelly.
I think she's saying she wants the books for the video.
Yeah, you fucking morons. I'll get there.
Okay.
I'll get there.
I trust you.
When do I not do the CTAs?
Nah, you do it.
Oh. No.
Go ahead.
Why don't you do it, Dylan?
Oh,
no, don't get me started.
I'm just trying to channel the producer's wishes. Me and him are a team. Why don't you tell him, Kelly?
All right, here we go.
Oh, here we go. Nice.
Okay.
This is awesome.
All right. We got amazing books here by Kelly Sullivan Walden. Be sure to check them out. Kelly, what books do we got here for you that everybody could check out?
I've given you guys a few things. The latest and greatest is The Hero's Journey Dream Oracle. So this is, you guys have all been heroes. You're tapping into your hero essence. So these are oracle cards and you can actually pick one and ask a question and it's like an affirmation of what to think about on your hero's journey. And it connects to your dreams.
Fantastic.
And
we're all really heroes in our dreams.
Yes. Most of the time, I mean, sometimes we don't know that we are. We're the hero in disguise, but we're all on a hero's journey and we're moving towards that elixir, moving towards that empowerment as much as possible. So even if we take a step back, it's like preparing us to go 10 steps forward. All right. So the Chicken Soup for the Soul book, Dreams and the Unexplainable. This is the most recent book that I wrote. Okay.
What does that mean? What's happening?
No, keep going. Dreams are the unexplainable. Exactly. There's so many.
There's 101 stories, eye-opening stories about premonitions and miracles. Mm. And then I brought you guys one of my first dream dictionary, the first book. They go, oh, yeah. And then we've also got Chicken Soup for the Soul, Dreams and Premonitions. This is my first Chicken Soup for the Soul book a few years ago. This is my very first dream book that got me kind of becoming, like, I don't know, writing dream books.
Put you on the scene.
I think there was a guy on this show holding this book earlier.
Yeah.
I think there was.
Nice.
Perhaps he was sitting in this seat. Should we get him back on the show?
Yes.
Oh, man. Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Logan Paul.
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 He's like the before version of you, this guy right here. He's like the before.
Ah, I see.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. So those are some good books. You can get them on your website, which is what?
KellySullivanWalden.com. And if that's too hard to spell, I had the strangest dream. Com.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Amazing. All right, Kelly, thank you so much. Where can they find you on social media? I'm sure you have some sort of social presence.
I do. On Instagram, it's Kelly S. Walden, and Twitter too. On Facebook, Kelly Sullivan Walden, Dr. Dream.
Okay, so just lots of words.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And on my website, I have all these free, there's a dream declaration meditation that you can listen to before you go to sleep. It's a free thing that I give away on my KellySullivanWalden.com. So you can listen to it before you go to sleep, and it reminds you that you're going to remember your dream when you wake up in the morning. That would be a really cool thing.
Very cool.
Gives you the suggestion to insert different thoughts about what you want your dreams to help you with.
Yeah.
So career, body, blah, blah, blah.
I think I'm going to try to start lucid dreaming. I think.
Yeah, you would be amazing. I could totally see you doing that. That's the next step for you.
Well, thank you for coming on the show. You're so warm and kind and also warm. Yes. You're really also kind. But hey, we're going to do audio only now on Spotify and iTunes. Check us out there. Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. Make sure to subscribe. We'll see you next time. Peace.
Peace. Oh. Dream on.
This is it. We're in audio only.
Woo.
There's just no visual. It's pretty much just, sorry about that, guys.
I let my hair down.
I don't know why I
got impulsive.
You went Super Saiyan.
I don't know. I just got ticked off real quick. I think the first time like Dylan was reminding me, and I was like, all right, cool. But then when I was like still going to do it and like get into it.
You just came out of hypnosis though, for God's sakes. I mean, you know, some people, you were just like on another planet.
I was kind
of
angry.
Yeah.
Why was I so angry? You made me angry with hypnosis.
Did I?
I don't know.
I
made you, I
got sensitive.
I was sensitive.
Exactly.
It was like, I didn't think I was going to do my job right.
Right. But that's a tall order for anybody to do. I mean, to come right out of hypnosis and then have to be like doing stuff.
No, I was going to do it. That's what I was going to say. I was going to do it. I was going to plug your books. I got 3 books.
You can do it. You're doing great. I mean, the fact that you can even function. Most people after hypnosis do nothing for the rest of the day. They literally take a bubble bath. That's like the big order.
Here's what I think the issue is, Kelly. Mike told you this. We've been just knocking out podcasts this whole week. This is our 10th one in 3 days.
Holy God.
All of us are exhausted. And this is, I think, the last one that we've bagged. So you're experiencing the final push.
There's nothing left at the end.
You guys are doing pretty freaking amazing.
We are the stump at the end of the giving tree. Number one.
Yeah. Seriously. 1,000 podcasts.
1,000.
And that was just this week.
I've got a dream that I used to have quite a bit growing up where I would be, and I saw it on the cover of your book, I would be in class butt ass naked.
I've had that one for sure.
And it's just like, this is horrible.
Yeah, right. So naked dreams usually are about feeling exposed, feeling like something that you're ashamed of something, you don't want it to be revealed, like some kind of a secret, or that usually it's a venting dream. Like I said before about the teeth falling out. It's like your subconscious mind is helping you to vent out any feelings of insecurity, not having enough. But at the same time, I think there's a whole different kind of obviously there's naked dreams if you're having sexual dreams. But also I think as we evolve as a species, there's a trend toward transparency, wearing your soul on your sleeve, like being impulsive, being completely who you are. So I think that eventually we're going to get to the point where we have more and more naked dreams and we feel comfortable in that state. And at school, any dream that takes place at school means that you're being tested somehow and maybe not feeling like you got it, but it's a venting dream because usually only people that are like doing stuff have those insecurity dreams about school, not being smart enough whatever, because that means that you totally are. You're rocking it.
How does food and alcohol affect our dreams?
Totally affects our dreams. Absolutely.
In a good or bad way. I heard you're not supposed to eat. If you eat in the, 10 minutes before you go to sleep, you have nightmares or something.
I always tell people if in an ideal world, you won't eat or drink anything at least an hour before going to sleep. Yeah. I mean, really, if you were going to rock it, it would be like 3 hours before going to sleep.
Okay.
In fact, there's some people that are super strict that live in such a way that it's all about setting yourself up to have great dreams. And that would mean if you're gonna put any chemicals in your body, it would be earlier in the day. So it's not gonna affect your dreams. You're not gonna eat a big old sandwich right before you go to sleep because it will totally make your dreams. It's kind of like putting your clothes in the laundry. It's like if they're all muddy and caked with stuff, like you should shake it off. You should like make it so it's not gonna make your washer machine have to like work so hard. Your dreams are on your side, but if you put chemicals in your body, it's definitely gonna make your dreams harder to do what they can do for you.
Does pizza give you nightmares if you eat pizza before bed?
That's what I heard.
Right before you go to sleep, if you eat any heavy meal and a lot of people will drink alcohol because it makes them drowsy before they go to sleep, and it will make you drowsy. It'll put you to sleep, but then your blood sugar tanks and then your adrenaline spikes and you'll tend to have nightmares and an unrestful sleep. So
it's, do you have a lot? Because you have the typical Fat Sal's.
I don't remember any dreams, bro.
It's kind of a groggy. Well, so tonight, I bet you when you wake up tomorrow morning, you guys are going to all have some really cool dreams.
Do people with hyperactive brains tend to not remember their dreams? Is there some sort of pattern in that? Because Mike is very that way, and so am I, and so is my brother.
Like, I wake up and it's never like, oh, well, the first thing I think about is like chicken pot pie with my grandma. Like, the first thing I think about is like, damn, I probably missed 50 emails already. It's been 45 minutes since they hit the fucking office. I get my phone, I start hitting emails.
Okay, so you talked about the to-do list or having some actionable items.
Yeah.
So the average person that's in the 21st century is that the first thing they think about is social media or whatever, and that is like the killer to your dreams. Because the truth is that you're probably waking up with some very vivid dreams, but they're completely forgotten about because your first thought upon awakening is, what do I have to do today? And then all of a sudden your dreams are gone. But if you can get yourself in the habit of just for the first 5 minutes of your waking time to think about nothing else but your dreams, have the question in your mind be, what was I just dreaming about? What was I just dreaming about? And any thought about, but I got to call that person or I got to do that thing. 5 minutes later, it's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do it right then, the dreams are gone. And they could have been the best, most enlightening, fulfilling, change your life dreams, and they will be gone if they're not your first priority in the morning.
Mm. Is there like a way that you might be able to like hook up some wires to my head to extract my dreams for me?
Oh, actually, there is technology, as strange as that might seem, coming out of Japan that says they're showing that there are certain algorithms based on certain things that you're dreaming about that you can visually see. It's super cryptic right now, but at some point they're saying that we will be able to see, like show people what we've been dreaming. We'll be able to see what's in each other's dreams. I mean, that's not that far down the line.
That's crazy.
I know.
I heard NASA's going to pay people to sleep to study their REM cycles.
Oh my God.
In space.
I know. Well,
100 days.
Oh my God. That'll be amazing.
It's gonna be crazy.
I know some people that have been part of the government that are super vivid dreamers that can dream what's going on in other countries.
And
it's amazing what you can do with your dreams.
You like the song Dreamweaver by Gary Wright?
I love it.
Classic.
Yeah.
What about Dreamweavers in general?
Like the little things that go above your bed.
Oh, you
that
mean, oh, bad, dream catchers?
Bad spirits.
Yeah,
dream
that's
catchers.
What
dream
he, that's what I, he,
so
see
sorry.
How easily
no,
he
no,
can
no.
lead me all, into a
so sorry.
Good
We're
or
all
bad
still
place.
In hypnosis right now. No, the dream catchers are really cool. I think most people think that they, I don't
sign.
Know. There's, what is it?
It's a sign.
It's a sign?
Yeah, of things that could, Dreamweavers are a sign of things to come.
I think,
good things.
I think they are. I mean, they either believe that they catch your dream and they hold it for you so that you can remember them, and only the best ones drop down through those feathers into your mind.
Oh, very cool.
Or
yeah, it's supposed to protect, right?
Or they're catching the bad dreams and keeping them from you.
What about dream catcher tattoos? Kind of overdone, don't you think?
Maybe, but I like them. I don't know. I can't get enough of them.
What about Martin Luther King's "I Have a Dream" speech?
I love it.
It's
I think
speech.
It's amazing.
Phenomenal speech.
Oh my God.
Remember the USA basketball team, the dream team?
Yeah.
From the Olympics?
Yeah.
It was like Jordan.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yep. You guys are all dream centric now.
Yeah, what about DreamWorks, the animation studio?
I love them. Steven Spielberg, right?
Yeah. Dream Hotel.
Dream Hotel.
Great
I did a
hotel.
Workshop there in New York, and I want to do something with the
guy
one
will
in
ask,
LA.
Guy will walk past you. You ever say, that guy's dreamy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or Dream On. Or whatever.
What about Dream On Green from the Golden
what
State Warriors?
I don't know what that means.
I may have pronounced it wrong.
Dream On Green.
Oh, is that? Okay, that's an athlete.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What's the Dream Pop Project real quick?
Oh,
I have a note here.
Oh my Kelly's
God. Kelly's the founder of the Dream Project.
That's my nonprofit program. I started that, a bunch of years ago. I was, long story short, I was at the United Nations and I had a dream, a waking dream while I was there. I had this vision of inner city kids. I grew up in the inner city. My dad was a cop in East LA. And so I and became a school teacher. Anyway, I had this vision of these kids in the inner city catching ideas that could end up becoming the thing that could fulfill the goals of the United Nations to eradicate poverty and hunger and create gender equality and like just create a better world. And I ended up creating a curriculum and going into inner city kids, schools in South Central and East LA and working with these kids on this crazy idea I had. I thought I might get shot. I might get killed because I'm just this crazy white lady. Like, who am I? But it was super empowering. I actually used the hero's journey as part of the curriculum as that's a whole other rabbit hole to go down. I could share it with you at another time if you want or whenever. But it's an empowerment program to let kids know, the kids that feel disenfranchised, to let them know that even though, yes, they have their challenges for sure, but compared to so many other kids in other third world countries, developing countries, they are kings and queens. And if they wanted to, they could do something to help them. So I've created these projects where these kids, like these little gangbangers, are like raising money, doing car washes, doing whatever to help to adopt a village in Kenya, to do something and that empowers them and gives them another career option like the UN or whatever, as opposed to just thinking, I want to be cool, so I'm going to be a gang person and I'm going to, you know, whatever. So we've gotten to take some of the kids that have these great ideas, accessing the dreaming part of their mind, the solution part of their mind, bring them to the United Nations, let them have a spotlight, let them get a chance to talk and find their voice. So it's been amazing.
Very cool.
Yeah, incredible. It's a curriculum. It's if any teachers are listening and if anybody wants it, I've got a free curriculum I'm happy to give away. And I do teacher trainings if people are open to doing this. We've reached about 500,000 kids at this point.
Wow. We do have some teachers that listen to the show. I'm positive.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also I want to call this out. This girl's been in my inbox for days now. It seems like a good time for it. Did you mention something about a flight? You wish you could meet a flight attendant from Ohio at some point. Do you remember saying anything about this for maybe your dream girl or something like that? Potentially.
Maybe.
This girl is a flight attendant from Ohio and
what?
She has just been every hour she regenerates the message in my inbox.
Really?
And it's like, Logan needs to see this.
Oh, no, no. You know what I said? You know what I said is, why are flight attendants so attractive?
Oh.
You know? That's what I said.
Oh, so maybe she put that with the fact that she's from Ohio.
Yes,
I mean,
she's
a pretty girl. I think has over 10K followers. So maybe even worth
reading
her message.
Yeah, you should show me.
Oh,
all right, cool. That's it.
Hey. Delete.
Kidding.
Yeah, that's all we got.
Ha ha.
Kidding.
That's all we got on this episode of Impulsive. Kelly, thank you again, for real.
Thank you again.
Yeah,
Logan,
really appreciate you.
Thank you so
much. Of course.
What a blessing to be with you guys.
That was
thank
just
you
great.
So much.
That was
thank
awesome.
You. Thank you. Thank you, Dylan.
Greatest 5-star. Impulsive. We love you. Bye.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.